Well, hello, listeners, and welcome to Advanced Radio. We are so happy that you have come back for day two of our People article for the month of December. And we have been learning a lot through this article. It's entitled Surgeons Innovation Lets a Girl Breathe Normally. And so we've learned that a surgeon's breakthrough procedure has allowed a young girl called Hannah to be able to breathe through her mouth. And in the deck, we've learned that she is one tough cookie. And yesterday we learned what that one tough cookie means. It means to be able to get through challenges and trials. And we're going to learn a lot more as we continue with Hannah's story today. But before we get started, I would like you to meet my fellow hosts that have joined me here today and have come back from yesterday. I want to first of all say thanks for coming back.
You're welcome.
Well, let's find out who they are. If you weren't here yesterday, you'll want to know who they are today. To my left, I have...
Hi, everyone. It's Albert. It's good to be back.
Thanks for coming back. And to my right, I have...
Hey, guys. I'm David. And yesterday, we learned that Hannah went through this surgery, and she had to use this brace called Halo. And that halo caused her not able to move her neck or head, which is very hard on a girl 8 years old.
Right. Yes, exactly. And Albert, how about you? What did you learn from yesterday?
Just, you know, we have here in our deck, it says one tough cookie. She is totally one tough cookie. In high school, I had dental braces, and those things were such a pain. I wanted to rip them off. I wanted to rip the teeth from my mouth out. They were so annoying. It was just a constant dull pain. It was just constant soreness, right? So I can barely just imagine what she had to go through.
How many years did you have your braces for?
Gosh, it was like a year, and that was just a year too long.
Wow. Yeah. To constantly be in pain in your mouth for a year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, then Hannah is one tough cookie. We learned that she has Trecker-Collins syndrome, which means that her facial bones have not developed correctly. They are underdeveloped, and this affects 1 in 50,000 people. And so this meant that her small jaw did not allow her to be able to breathe through her airway correctly. It blocked her airway. So she had to undergo what they call a tracheostomy. That means that they put a cut into her windpipe to allow her to breathe better. And we see a picture of her showing her brother Josh that in the picture on page 30. But due to a procedure done by Dr. Richard Hopper and his team, they were able to put a brace on her head which will realign her facial bones, and it allowed her airway to open up. Now, we learned yesterday that one of Hannah's dreams was to swim with the dolphins, and I don't blame her for that. That's a great thing to be able to do, and she wasn't able to do it for the longest time because of this tube in her windpipe. But thankfully, due to Dr. Richard Hopper and his team, that track was removed from her windpipe. It was closed up. It allowed her to swim. And because of a fundraising TV show, she was able to swim with the dolphins. And her dreams came true. Well, we learn today, as we go into the second day of this article, what she had to undergo as part of that surgery. So turn with me now as we go to page 31, the top of column 1, and learn about the gamble.
The gamble. For about a month, she stayed in the hospital for what is called the turning phase, in which her face was slowly rotated to expand her airway. That was followed by months with the brace holding Hannah's face in its new position to heal. Because of the toll the previous operation took on the family, they almost turned down the groundbreaking method. The procedure's success is now documented, and more have been done. Hopper's work has been honored nationally, and he is teaching surgeons around the world How to carry out a subcranial rotation distraction. A driven doctor. My responsibility is to make things better in my career than they were at the beginning of my career, said Hopper, surgical director of Seattle Children's Craniofacial Center. These kids really deserve and benefit from these surgeries. They're very high-functioning kids. The trach is something that can really break a family apart, all because of something around a kid's neck.
Okay, so as we enter today's article, we learn that there was a gamble. Albert, what does the word gamble mean?
Well, usually gambling, or the word gamble, means making a bet. Mm-hmm. And usually there's a negative connotation, like, oh, that person's gambling or whatnot.
Right.
Yet here, they are going to be taking a bet, or were.
Right, and the risk as well, right? Mm-hmm. They've been taking a risk. Well, we learned that Hannah was in hospital for about a month. And what did she have to do during that month, David?
The article called it a turning face, which they slowly changed her face so that she could breathe through her airway.
Right, and turning face means to rotate, another way to say that, right? So her face was slowly rotated. Now, written down, that looks fine, right? But to actually experience that would be a lot of pain. Albert's already mentioned how having braces was very painful on his teeth, let alone trying to turn the facial bones in your body and turn those to where they need to be. Well, why were they doing it? Because yesterday we learned that due to this trachea-Collins syndrome, Hannah's airway was blocked. And so they needed to turn her facial bones so they could expand her airway. And then that was followed by months with a brace holding Hannah's face in its new position to heal. So that would have looked like a big metal brace on her head. We talked yesterday about her having a halo, and she would have had to hold that position there so that the facial bones grow and get used to their new position. She had to do that for months. But we learned something that nearly stopped the family from doing all of this, Albert.
Yeah, so previous operations, and there were many, 12 of them, and they took a toll. It was a toll, usually when I think of the word toll, I think of toll booth, where you have someone collecting something, right, a tax or something. But in this context, we're talking about damage dealt or suffering that was received.
Right.
So, you know, it just, like, exacerbated them and wore them off from the previous operations, and they almost turned down this groundbreaking method.
Albert, when you had your braces, did it take a toll on you?
You know what? Now that I think about it, I'm not sure if it was just, you know, the teenager phase.
Mm.
Oh, I want to listen to my own music. I'll do what I want. I'm not sure. You know, it's like puberty. Everything was running high. I'm not sure.
Mm.
It probably did, but that is just like one thousandth of a fraction of compared to what Hannah and her family had to go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so actually the toll nearly stopped them from going through this groundbreaking method. What does the word groundbreaking mean, David?
Groundbreaking means that there's been a big change, or maybe something very new happened in this area.
So we've actually seen a theme through this article.
Exactly.
On the first day, we used the word pioneer. We learned that Hannah was a pioneer after innovative surgery at Seattle Children's Hospital. So the word pioneer is similar to another word.
Yes, just like first of a kind.
That's right. It was also mentioned yesterday. She had a first of its kind procedure, and it's similar to another word, David.
That's right. Also trailblazing, something that has never been done before.
So we've had pioneer, first of its kind, trailblazing, and now groundbreaking. And this is a groundbreaking procedure that they nearly turned down due to the toll that previous operations had on the family. But they did not. They still went through with it, and we learned that it was a success, which is now what, Albert?
it has been documented, which means it has been recorded, and now afterwards, more have been done. So because of the surgery and its successfulness, and they were able to repeat it.
Right, and we know from yesterday that Dr. Richard Hopper is a researcher, and his surgery, he is trying to do very, what we call cutting-edge surgery, and he's actually been honored nationally for the work that he has done, and now he is teaching surgeons around the world how to carry out a subcranial rotation distraction. That's a long word, but that's basically the name of the procedure. When we're talking about something subcranial, what are we talking about, Albert?
Well, you kind of mentioned this lightly yesterday. Cranial means anything to do with the head. Mm. And so relating to the area beneath the skull.
Right. And skull is actually another word for the cranium.
Right.
Which is the bone that surrounds the brain. And so that is the name of his procedure, that he his first of a kind procedure. And so we learned that he's a very driven doctor. David, what does the word driven mean?
Yes. A driven person is someone who is very determined to achieve something or be successful at what he does.
Right. What does he go on to say, Albert?
He says, you know, my responsibility is to make things better in my career than they were at the beginning of my career. So he wants to leave the place better than he found it.
Right, and just continue to get better and better. And that's what he's been doing with his research. We learned that he is the surgical director of Seattle Children's Craniofacial Center. Craniofacial is joining two words together. Cranio having to do with the skull, facial having to do with the face. So that's what his surgery does, and we see that in Hannah's example, that he is working on the cranium and the face. What does he go on to say, David?
Yes, so he says these kids really deserve and benefit from these surgeries. They're very high-functioning kids. The track is something that can really break a family apart, all because of something around a kid's neck.
Okay, so he really believes that these children deserve these surgeries. What do we mean, Albert, when we say high functioning?
That they are still just any normal person. They're able to function. They just have this disorder that sets them back just a little bit. And, you know, give them the chance and the surgery, and they'll be able to amaze us.
Okay, good. And we learned earlier about the toll that previous surgeries have had on Hannah and her family, that they almost turned down this procedure. So he is saying, you know, oftentimes this trek can really break a family apart, perhaps due to the stress and the pressure of all the surgeries that they undergo. It's not easy. You know, we're talking about driving your children to hospital on many occasions, staying overnight with their children in hospital. That can wreak havoc on your work schedule, on the family life schedule. So they really had to undergo a lot of things. But he loves doing this work, Dr. Richard Hopper, because it really, he really sees these kids have a lot of breakthrough from the surgery. Well, let's learn a little bit more about Hannah and her situation in preparing for the future.
Preparing for the future. Hannah's 12-hour surgery was performed in August 2015, and the halo removed in late November. In addition to freeing her airway, Hopper was able to reconstruct parts of Hannah's face, giving her something she's always wanted, cheekbones. With the extra protection for her eyes, Hannah can now play softball, which she's long wanted to try. She can wear necklaces comfortably, do her hair differently, and continue competing in gymnastics. A new direction. Moving forward, Hannah will require fewer major and less frequent surgeries. After her trach removal, the show family wore custom t-shirts reading, "She's one tough cookie" on the front, with hashtag Team Hannah on the back. They usually wear them when she has surgery, but this time they had a different incentive. We thought it was important to wear it because it was a victory, Jennifer said, as Hannah jumped out of her seat, into the air, and pumped her fist.
All right. Well, if you're just joining us, thank you for joining us in our People article for the month of December. And we have been learning about Hannah's show and the surgery that she has undergone to deal with a syndrome that she has suffered from called Trecker-Collins syndrome. This is where her facial bones are underdeveloped, which when she was a child caused her to have a blockage to her windpipe. Now, due to groundbreaking surgery from Dr. Richard Hopper and his team at Seattle Children's Hospital, she is now able to breathe through her windpipe. They have been able to adjust her facial bones, and we have learned that she's able to do the things she's always dreamed of doing, whether it be swimming with the dolphins or getting her ears pierced. She's been able to do a lot of different things. Well, thankfully to her driven doctor, Dr. Richard Hopper, she's been able to have this surgery. And we learn in this paragraph here that she is preparing for the future. What do we learn about Hannah Albert?
Well, now, because of the surgery, the doctor was also able to reconstruct parts of her face. And, you know, when Carolyn was reading this, Dave and Amanda started touching their cheekbones, and I couldn't understand why. And it also, it's something that we never thought about, right? Like, cheekbones, they provide extra protection for your eyes.
That's right.
That's right. If you think about it, you could think about a person's face like a side profile of
right.
their face. And if something was like a ball was coming towards your face, it's going to hit your eyebrow and your cheekbone first before it's going to hit your eyes.
Right, exactly. And I'm guessing, you know, you kind of like out of reflex, you'll kind of like close your eyes and back up a little bit. But yeah, you're totally right. It'll hit your forehead or your cheeks first. And because of this, Hannah can now play softball.
That's right. She underwent 12-hour surgeries in August of 2015 and had her halo removed in late November. Not only did that free up her airway, but she was also able to be given cheekbones. And that was something she always wanted, right, David?
Exactly. And also, with her track removed, she can now wear a necklace comfortably.
Right. Now she's able to not only swim with the dolphins or get her ears pierced, she can play softball, which she's long wanted to try. It says she can wear necklaces comfortably. Why would she be able to wear her necklaces comfortably now?
Well, before she had a tube more or less sticking out of her throat in the middle. You know, just imagine when you're swallowing, that's also an air path. And the necklace would probably, like, dangle or wiggle or touch it and, like, irritate it. And it would just be probably really uncomfortable. And so she's able to wear necklaces comfortably, and she can do her hair differently and continue competing in gymnastics.
That's big. Competing in gymnastics is a lot of movement. We're talking about springboarding off things,
mm-hmm.
running, jumping, flipping. To do gymnastics is quite a feat.
I wonder if this is something where, like, if I was prevented from doing something, I would start making a list and not be, what's that word I'm looking for, underappreciative? Or it's just, because I never figured, like, oh, if you had this syndrome, that you would also start thinking of, oh, I want to play softball. It's mm-hmm. something I can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to wear necklaces. Or, you know, get your ears pierced or compete in gymnastics.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of things that we take for granted, but once you're, you know, once you can't have those things or don't have the ability to do those things, perhaps the things that you wish you could do.
Right.
Right. And that's what happened in Hannah's case, so she's taking the opportunity to do the most that she can right now. In fact, she has a new direction. She is moving forward. She is hoping to have fewer major and less frequent surgeries. So she's already had a lot of major surgeries, and also she hopes that they're less frequent. What do we mean when we say something is less frequent, Albert?
Well, it just means the chances of it happening is much, much lower.
Right, it doesn't happen as often.
Right.
Right. Well, after she had her trach removed, what did her family do, David?
They made a T-shirt that says, "She's one tough cookie" in the front, and at the back, it says, hashtag Team Hannah.
Now, this hashtag thing is very popular right now. Albert, why are hashtags so popular?
Hashtag just because. Well, hashtags make it easier to search for and to categorize certain messages or statuses or news bit. I think you, I may be wrong on this, but I think it was popularized by Twitter, and you would just hashtag something if you're messaging a topic that's relevant to it. So, for example, if a typhoon is coming, right, and I will write a status update and be like, oh, the typhoon flooded my apartment, hashtag typhoon, and Amanda will be like, oh my gosh, the typhoon affected my car, hashtag typhoon. If someone were to click on it, they can find all typhoon related.
Okay,
tags.
So it allows a better search.
Right, yes.
Of that item or that topic.
Right, and it's super cute how they brought it into real life with a T-shirt, because you can't really click on a T-shirt to categorize it, but they're saying, hashtag, we're all in this together, and we are on Team Hannah.
Right, and so basically she has the support of her family, and they also feel that she is one tough cookie. It's a very cute T-shirt to have. And when do they wear these T-shirts, David?
Well, they usually wear them when she has a surgery, where she's going through a surgery. But now they wear it for a different incentive. They wear it because it's a victory, because Hannah has overcome all these surgeries.
Right. And what do we mean by this word incentive, Albert?
Well, an incentive is something that encourages the person to do something. For example, you may wake up every morning and go to work because your incentive is to please your boss or make money.
Right. Okay. So before she had the surgery, the incentive to wear these T-shirts was to encourage her, to be a cheerleader for her, to get through the surgeries. But now they have overcome that. She's done all these major surgeries, and now they're celebrating the victory that comes with having done these surgeries. And this is from Jennifer, who is Hannah's mom. Jennifer said this as Hannah jumped out of her seat and she pumped her fist. What does that mean, Albert, to pump your fist?
It just means to move your fist up and down into the air. I just imagine a cheerleader cheering you on and they'll punch the air with their fists.
Yeah, it's interesting that we use this action to encourage people to say, go, 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 right? Like you said, Albert, cheerleaders use it, or people in the crowd when somebody's playing a game, they just use it to show that they are trying to encourage you to do the best that you can. And that's what she's doing. Or it can also mean when you have won something.
Ooh.
You know, like in boxing, they do it, right? They hold the person's fist into the air like, yeah, I'm the winner.
Right.
And so Hannah is a winner in this situation. She has overcome so much through her surgeries. Now, I just wanted to ask you as we finish for today, gentlemen, what did you find inspirational about this article?
Well, just her age. You know, usually we associate age with maturity, with perseverance, with patience, and just from the get-go, you know, she had this syndrome and she had to overcome it, and time again she did. And I'm pretty sure there were bad days, but, I mean, even through all that, you know, she wants to be a normal girl, and mm-hmm. She has such a positive outlook. Like, you know, going back to yesterday, she's totally okay with when people stare, and she thinks it's funny. She has a healthy, positive outlook. And today we see how, like, oh, she just wants to get in, like, play softball, wear necklaces. It's just totally typical, normal stuff.
Right.
And also, I like how she took up this challenge. Like, even though she had to go through so many surgeries, at the end, she survived and she gotten better. And I like her enthusiasm of looking forward, of wanting to enjoy life, even though she's in this state.
That's really good. Listeners, we hope that as you have learned about Hannah and her journey, that you too can get some ideas on how to work with challenges that you face in your life. You know, she has had such a positive attitude with regard to what has been happening to her. Even though it has at times taken a toll on her and her family, they have persisted And look at what she's able to do now. She has been able to swim with the dolphins. She competes in gymnastics. And she is looking forward to her future. And we hope the same for you, too, that if you are facing challenges right now, that you, too, can face the future and that you can overcome those challenges in your life. Well, we would love to hear from you, any feedback you have or any challenges that you have overcome in your life. Let us hear about your story. Make sure you email us or contact us through our Facebook page or our website. Also on the top left corner, we have our QR code that will lead to different features that you can check out as well. We thank you for joining us in our People article for the month of December, and I want to thank my host as well for coming in today, and we will see you next time. Until next time, this is Amanda,
David,
Albert,
saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.